kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Zechariah. And we're going to look at a verse here we know very, very well and we so often quote. And I'm calling the teaching today, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Zechariah 4 and verse 6. Now, it's interesting, before we get into this, I'm often interested in the saints' names, particularly under the Old Covenant. And Zechariah means Yahweh remembers or has remembered. So that is what his name implies. Now, the book of Zechariah is interesting because he is a prophet and his task is for rebuilding the temple. The children of Israel have come out of exile, and Zechariah is commissioned by God to encourage the people in their responsibility in finishing rebuilding the temple. But rather exhorting or admonishing them and rebuking them, Zechariah seeks from the Lord to encourage them into action. And part of that encouragement is to remind them that the temple must be built, for one day Messiah's glory will come and inhabit the temple. So it's all dealing with future blessings, what is to come. And all of this, of course, he shows will happen if we are obedient and we do it God's way. So the people are involved. They're called and encouraged to build this temple, and he gives the clue, the key to this, how this will be done for God's glory and for the future. And here it is in verse 6 of chapter 4, where he says, "So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" Now, of course, this implies that God doesn't need our human efforts. He doesn't actually need our help at all. But God uses man for the very simple reason, because he created the world in which man should have dominion. And so he's restoring this dominion back to man. We taught on this a few weeks ago. This is all part of restoration. So God, in this restoring of dominion, is teaching us and showing us how this is going to be accomplished. The same as the rebuilding of the temple under Zerubbabel after the children come out of exile from Babylon. He's showing that the Spirit of God will build this, and that the children of Israel are to obey, to yield over, to not procrastinate or put it on hold, which man is so good at doing, and we all do it, don't we? No, he's showing the Spirit of God will revive, the Spirit of God will do it through us, he will quicken us, he will equip us, all and more, in which it will be finished and accomplished. And we, brothers and sisters, are right at the end of this dispensation where the fulfillment, the spiritual roof, is to be placed upon God's holy temple. It is that close. And only God can accomplish this walk as an overcomer in and through us as we yield over to the Spirit. Every time we try to do it in our own strength and efforts, we fall flat on our face. And we will come to a place where we will no longer dare to touch the power and the Spirit and the presence of God. We will not dare to hinder it, because the glory of God is coming back into his temple. And it is a very awesome and fearful thing. The early church at Pentecost experienced the former reign of God's glory. And they knew the fear of God. And God did mighty things. And they had a fear of not interfering with God's glory and his plans and how he was working in and through them. And again, this will be restored to the latter reign. And we are in the process of this transformation. And that's why it's not by might nor by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. You see, there's no amount of human intellect or skills sufficient to accomplish the work of God effectively. There is nothing in me, there is nothing in you, there is nothing in the world, technology, commerce, finances, all the powers that be that we see around the world trying to rule, all of those are insufficient to accomplish the work of God effectively. And of course the Apostle Paul alludes to this, doesn't he? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 19 to 23. 19 to 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You know this very well, but I think we'll glean from this how important this is. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. So he says very clearly, there is a wisdom. The world does have a wisdom, but it is a counterfeit wisdom. You see, Satan, being the god of this world still at the moment, he counterfeits everything that God does. So he says, for the wisdom of the world. This is not a godly wisdom. You see, as we are learning and getting knowledge from God, from the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, we then have that wisdom how to apply that knowledge. And so it says the wisdom of the world, or the knowledge of the world, is foolishness with God. Why is it foolish? Because it's written, for it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. The world wants to trap you. It wants to trip you up. It wants to control you in the mind. It wants to keep you earthly, sensual. And notice the nature. He says it's crafty, it's cunning, it's beguiling, it's seducing. And that's the nature of it. And do you know, brothers and sisters, that is what God is delivering us from. And we have to let him do it. Because the wisdom and knowledge that comes from above is peaceable, is pure, is deliverance. It is not controlling. And there is the fundamental difference. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So they believe, they have all the passion and fervor that what they believe is right, and even many will be martyrs because they believe they're right politically or whatever it is. And what does he say? It's futile. It is useless. So he says, none of us will boast, only in one thing, that everything belongs to God, and God has shared this with us, and he says it's yours as well. Ministry, Paul, Apollos, the saints of the past, the word of life or death which God has given to us, things present, things to come, all are Christ's, and Christ is God's. There we are. There's the nature and generosity of our Heavenly Father to those that get delivered, who experience the power and might of the Spirit of God working through them. The apostle also says something more about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why is that? That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And you see, to get that transformation in our lives, where our faith is not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, it takes deliverance. It takes God to change our mind, our thinking, our attitude, our dependence on the things of the world where we thought we were learning, where we thought that that was education. And we still get confused with this, thinking at times it's God, it's the Holy Spirit, and it's not, it's flesh. It can be pride. And this is the big deliverance that's been taking place with the sons of God over all these years, because the apostle, who was a great intellect, was a theologian of theologians. He was faultless in the law. You couldn't find any fault with the apostle. He was that astute, that educated. He had such a mind. And look what he says here after years of God working with him. He says, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, because he knows in his own strength, he can do that. But that would not lead them to the way of salvation. It would simply produce another religion, another cult, another following of idols, which is what religion is about. Religion isn't Christ head over it. It's always a man, and people are beguiled by it, seduced in a religious way. And this is what he's saying, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So he says, my preaching, my words, what I say to you is in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And that is what should be granted to a ministry, to a man who's called to the fivefold ministry. God has given that ability in whatever measure that he wants to give, where it's in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, for the purpose that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that's why faith comes by hearing the word of God. That is the only way Christ can be formed in you and me. There's no other way. And the apostle had to learn this. And so when we're preaching, when we're witnessing, you actually surrender, you substitute all your knowledge, all what you think, your confidence in that knowledge, in your education, in your background, whatever it would be, you surrender that to the Word of God. Because if you don't, you hinder people from reaching to God. And that is why we have to be rooted and grounded in faith and in the Word. And that is why so few come to the body of Christ, are added to the church, because we still use human wisdom, logic, and we have to surrender that up, where our ministry, where our witness, where our sharing the good news of the gospel. In other words, when God presents a situation, I haven't a clue, but I know it's not by might and it's not by power. It is going to be by the Spirit of the Lord that I move and operate and speak and do whatever God wants of me in this situation. And that's why he's stripping us. That's why he's humbling us. And that's why he presents the cross in our life, so that it is of him. Exactly the message that Zechariah was coming to the children of Israel, so that they would continue to rebuild the temple, but not in their strength, because it will never happen. That's the point. Man will always have a different plan to God. And so we have to learn this, brothers and sisters. The church has to learn this. And again, that's why we preach the deeper life, because that's what the deeper life is about. It's this very thing where God is ministering through you and I. I am totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit. I learnt this lesson years back when God called me, because I knew I could never ever do this in a million years. This was not in me. I was thrown into this. And he learned to swim, because the power of God, the Spirit of God, was obviously with me. And that's why he has to be with us. And he will be with us. He says he's with us when we go out. He sends us out by the Spirit. And so when we share, we minister, we make sure that it's rooted and grounded by faith. Because they need that faith to believe, and faith comes by the Word, which we share. And there's only one thing we boast in our ministry, and that is the cross, the death of Jesus Christ. Of course it doesn't make any sense. Does that sound like good news? Of course not. But there you are. That is the wisdom and mind of God. Who are we to tell God? We have to rely totally on God's redemptive power. And when we rely on God's redemptive power, which is the cross, which is the death of Jesus, he will create his own nature and life in that person, which is called the new birth. He will do that. That is why the apostle clearly revealed, when he said, didn't he, it's not in demonstrated, he said it's in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. In other words, his preaching was creating the very risen nature of the Lord Jesus Christ in his followers and hearers. And that is the power a preacher and teacher has. He is given that power by the Spirit of God to create the life and nature of Jesus Christ in those that follow and believe and hear. That is what it is. And not only that, in order to equip those who hear, that they too can take it up and walk the same. That is what God is doing with us, brothers and sisters. And that is why I always believe in the preaching and teaching. It's not only salvation, it's healing and deliverance, because it's to the whole man. The preaching and teaching of the word isn't just to the intellect. If it was, we would be as proud as peacocks, but it's to the whole being, body, soul, and spirit. For the very purpose that we decrease, that he increases. The unction of the Spirit, the anointing, is to recreate the life of Christ in you and me. That is the power of the gospel. And that is what a minister should have. We're not creating clones, following a man, a ministry or denomination. The power of the gospel is to create the life of Christ in you and me for a personal relationship and walk with him. If the Son shall set you free, you are free indeed, says the word of God. That is the nature of the gospel. And this is what the apostle was saying here in 1 Corinthians 2:4. That he wasn't depending on his own speech, his own wisdom, his own intellect. And he could. But he surrendered that. He gave that up. So that the Spirit, the wisdom of God, could take over in his life and preaching and teaching. And what is the wisdom and Spirit of God? That we boast in the cross of Jesus Christ, in the death of Jesus. That is our gospel. That is our message. That is the power of the cross that can change lives, recreate the life of Christ in a believer. Place that faith there. To believe, which comes by the hearing and preaching and teaching of the word of God. We've got it so wrong today. It's man's wisdom and pride. This Laodicean church of today is so lukewarm. That's why it's heading for judgment. They will not to change. How dare you say that we have need of being born again? How dare you say that we need to humble ourselves and take up our own cross also and follow the Lord? They're offended when you preach such a thing, but that's what the Word of God says we're to do. Because the church makes disciples of Christ, not clones. And there's a big fundamental difference. And that's why you base your faith on that, that you are eternally secure. My faith, our faith, should be based on the fact that we are eternally secure as God himself is secure. That should be the gospel. All the while we're insecure, however they get saved out in the world. All the while we're in faith and out of faith, backsliding, coming back. How can the world ever be convinced? No, the gospel, our salvation, is an eternal security. It is as secure as God himself. And it's whether we choose to believe that or not. And the only way we know if we believe that is we stay with it and we endure to the end. There's the sign. There's the sign that you've been eternally called from the foundation of the world. We don't know. We are being saved in this life. That's why we walk by faith. But we can put our trust, our whole life, our whole future in the promises of God's word, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And that's the point. And that's why you have to have this personal relationship with him. That you get to know him. And that's what this is all about. But of course we know today they've substituted leadership. They put men, women in places where you go to them and you find out what God's saying and so forth. Bondage, control. And they often give fleshly wrong advice, wisdom of the world. I know a number of professing Christians have been trapped, tricked, deceived by wrong decisions given by eldership. No. This is all about that you come personally into his court, into his presence. It's a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the nature of the deeper life teaching. What did our Lord say? I know I keep going back to this a lot just recently, but back to John 17, this great prayer that Jesus prayed. John 17, verses 15 to 19. John 17, 15 to 19. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So there we are. In other words, the power of God gets the world out of our life, out of our heart, and that's what he's doing. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So the word of God, it separates us. That's the nature of what it does. It delivers us from being dependent on the world and the arm of the flesh and all the lies and everything that go with it. As you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. So there we are. We are sent. Never think that you are not. God sends you. And not only that, but with his blessing. So don't doubt. And let the Spirit of God just do it in and through us. And for their sakes, he says, verse 19, I separate myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. So there we are. He did it himself in his flesh, in his body, in this life. He submitted under that separation. He submitted to the truth, to the word. And even though he was preaching it, and he was the word made flesh. That's what it means there. So he says to sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. And he says in verse 16 that they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. It is not wrong for you to say, I am not of this world. That's what Jesus declares. That's what he said over us. Now they might look at you as though you've gone balmy. They say, well, are you from Mars or Venus or where? You know, but the point is, you can say that. I am not of this world. My life, my heart isn't in this world. I am of another world where Christ is. Because this world is heading for judgment. Thank God we don't have our life in it. But the world is blinded to what's coming. They're seeing the signs, but they try to work it out politically, in the mind, in the heart, but they can't. You have to have a new mind, a new heart, a new nature for your eyes to be opened. And then you see. And then you see that the word of God is true. It isn't a lie to what is coming on this world. We live in wicked times. Times where you cannot trust anyone now. Politicians, whoever they are, they speak out lies, deception. And people are so gullible, thinking that they speak the word of God, but they're not. They're not. The word of God, the truth of God, will come forth. Make no bones about it. That's why it says it's not by might nor by power. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. The Lord has a way of parting the powers of darkness because he's light. And Christ came into this world as a light to lighten up the world. He's lightened up your life, my life. He's shown the way, the path, the way that we go. And it's by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And this is why, brothers and sisters, we stay with God's word. We don't substitute the word. It's still the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. So many preachers and churches today are getting so involved in politics, in last day events, and even with Israel and the politics of Israel. That's all they do. They base their ministries on all of that. And we've lost sight that we preach the gospel of God first and foremost. And I know why a lot do this. Because they're desperate for revivals. But revivals aren't happening. They're not coming. And the reason they're not coming, because you try and tell them we're in the times of restoration, getting ready for the coming of the Lord, they don't want to know. They want to try and make things happen. There's the wisdom of man and not the wisdom of God. Because their faith, their trust is not fully in God's word. And you come unstuck every time. There's few today who preach the word as the word presents and shows us that it should be taught. And there's the tragedy. That's why we need to pray for some ministers, as the Lord will lead, that God will bring them back to preaching the word of God. Some are veering off because nothing's happening. We're not seeing people being added to the church and so on. I know it's easy to fall into these traps. But the point is, God does not make a mistake. Whatever God is doing, he is in control. Even when it looks negative, when it looks as though everyone's against you, or it even looks as though God has forsaken us, he hasn't. Because he's teaching us to walk by faith and not by sight, feelings, emotions that change like the wind. You know what your emotions are like. They're changing every hour. One minute we're happy, next minute we're down, next minute we're questioning, next minute we're happy, next minute we're not sure. Or we're upset because somebody said something or whatever it is. Do we want to be controlled by all of that? Or by the love of God and the word of God that starts to make us resolute, that starts to make us stable, so nothing affects us, whatever we hear or whatever's going on. Why? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. As I've said so many times as I close, faith is a higher form of knowledge that is not revealed to the world. It's hid. It is only revealed to those who bow their knee, who humble themselves before God, and who say, Father, have mercy upon me, wretched sinner that I am. And you know what? God will answer that. Your heavenly Father will come to you quicker than you realize, because it is sin that separates us from the love of God. We live in a fallen world. That isn't rocket science. We live in a world where if you look, you'll see things have gone so desperately wrong. Desperately wrong. And yet does man seek God on that? No, he doesn't. He thinks that technology and medical science can sort it all out. We think that this mass vaccine is going to sort it all out. It isn't. We know what's behind all of this. It's man's feeble attempts because he doesn't want to look to God to be changed, to have that new nature, and so on. Well, praise God. God has given you, brothers and sisters, the power of the Spirit. And he's saying to you, it's not by your efforts, your might, it's not by your power or what you rely on or what you think you can do. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord, that I will do this through your life, your ministry. You have to draw from the power of the Spirit of God. And it means you are thrown completely upon him. And God will place you in situations where in the natural, in your flesh, you can't do it or you wouldn't do it. But God will do it through you. All he says, open your mouth and I will fill it, says the Lord. That's what I do when I get up and I preach. I just believe when I open my mouth, he will give me the words, the unction of the Spirit. And that is how it is, brothers and sisters. You don't have to justify yourself. You don't have to prove anything. You are what you are by the grace and mercy of God. His salvation, his nature in your life, your walk, your destiny is all of what he has done. And that is why we give him all the praise and all the glory, because God first loved us. We didn't love him. It wasn't even in us. But he stopped us in our tracks and said, that's far enough. I am going to turn you around because the route you were taking is leading to damnation. That is the love and mercy of our Father. What have we done to deserve this? Nothing. And that's why Christianity is the greatest faith, religion if you want to call it, because God came down to man in his state. All the rest of these religions, they're all trying desperately to please God through their works and through their efforts. Useless. No, God has to touch us and change our lives by his mercy and grace. And that's why it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who comes to lead and guide and teach us. Father, we know nothing unless you reveal, unless you touch our lives. Help us, Father, to be dependent upon you. Help us, Father, when we go out, we meet people, we shop, we work, we do all those daily things. Father, may the Spirit and power of God take over in situations that you create, people that you bring along. Father, that we would be empowered with the seed of your word to plant into their lives.
So disaster, let him in constancy follow.